This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, we are today discussing Hanukkah, and we're discussing the historical background of Hanukkah, and this is something which most people are not aware of, and that is the history of the Jewish people. Let's go back to the history of Jewish people, and the Exodus from Egypt, Moshe Rabbeinu, took place in the Jewish year 2448. It's very easy to remember. Why? Avraham Avinu was born in 1948 B. Well, no, Jewish calendar. 1948 Jewish calendar. Avraham Avinu Yitzhak was born 100 years later. 2048. 400 years later, they leave Egypt. 2448. That's what he said. 2448. It's very easy to remember because it's 500 years from the birth of Avraham Avinu. They left Egypt 500 years from the birth of Avraham Avinu. So that's very important to remember, to realize. So 1948, Avraham Avinu was born. 2448, they leave Eretz Mitzrayim. Okay, that's the year 1312 BCE. 1312 BCE, approximately 3,400 years ago. 3,400 years, approximately, round figure. 3,400 years ago, we leave Mitzrayim. From 1250 BCE, which is when they got into Israel, we got the judges, the period of the judges, the Shoftim, go all the way to King Saul. King Saul was 1025 BCE. 1025 BCE, that's 1,000 years BCE. King Saul, Shaul HaMelech. So it's interesting because the temple wasn't built yet. What do they have? They had a Mishkan. Where was the Mishkan? Number one, it started off in Gilgal. And in Gilgal, it was there, I think, 14 years. And it moved to Shiloh. In Shiloh, it lasted about 400 years. Shiloh. In Shiloh, they actually built walls for the Mishkan, and they just used the roof of the Mishkan on the roof. But that's where everything happened. That's where, you know, that's where Eli was high priest. That's where Hannah went every year to Shiloh. And when Eli was overtaken by the Pelishtim, the Philistines smashed it, and they took the ark to... Yeah, they took it to all the different cities. Every city they took it to, something happened. They kept moving it until they said, you know what, finally, it's bringing a curse to us. Let's send it back. So they send the ark back. What do they do? So we have the city of Givon. Givon is where?
The Givonim are.
That's where they built the Mishkan. Nov and Givon. So the city of Nov is where David HaMelech was. He went to get help from the priests, the Kohanim. They gave him the sword of Goliath. They gave him food. And Doeg HaEdomi goes back to Shaul and reports, yeah, they're helping your enemy. And he sends Doeg, go kill all the Kohanim in the city of Nov. So from Nov it went to Givon. So that's the cycle. So from Gilgal to
Shiloh.
Shiloh, from Shiloh to Nov, Nov to Givon. Four places. Eventually Shlomo HaMelech builds the Beit HaMikdash. But before that, David HaMelech takes the ark back to Yerushalayim. So the ark is back in Yerushalayim. It's back in a tent, temporary tent, till Shlomo HaMelech builds the Beit HaMikdash. In 960 BCE, 480 years after they come into Eretz Israel, 480 years, imagine, it took 480 years to build them. They had the Mishkan in the meantime, but now they got the Beit HaMikdash, the first Beit HaMikdash. 960 BCE, he builds the Beit HaMikdash. It lasts for 410 years. It lasts for 410 years, that's it. So they're in Eretz Israel for about 850 years. Half the time they have a Mishkan, half the time they have a Beit HaMikdash. In 931 BC, split between the kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Who's in the southern kingdom? Yehuda. And the kings of David. And in the northern kingdom are the 10 tribes. And who's the king from? Ephraim. Close, Ephraim. Ephraim, who is the king, Yeravam ben Nevat. He starts off, and he has a little bit of a dynasty over there, four generations, and then Hashem says, that's it, kill them all. Kills them all, puts a new dynasty, and then another Omri, and then another dynasty of Yehu, and keeps on going, keeps on knocking out dynasties. They're all evil. So, then last, their dynasties didn't last. The kings of Israel never had a real one dynasty. It kept on breaking up. See, Rehoboam is the king of Judah, the son of Shlomo HaMelech, 931 BCE to 913 BCE. And then we have the Moabites. The Moabites claim victory. How do we know? Because we have an inscription. It's called the Stone of Mesha, the Mesha Stone. where Mesha, the king of Moab, says, I was victorious over King Omri of Israel, Northern Kingdom. So we find there's a Moabite victory of habit. It's recorded. You have the stone is there. I think it's a British museum, wherever it is. You can look it up. The stone of Mesha, 840 BCE. 740 BCE, Yeshayahu Anavi. He's a prophet for about 60 years. He's prophesying. Book of Yeshayahu. And he's prophesying that the Judah is going to fall if they don't do Teshuvah. Man, this do Teshuvah, do Teshuvah, do Teshuvah. All the prophets. That's the message of the prophets from the time of Yeshayahu onwards. Do Teshuvah. Judah's going to fall. And the kings don't believe him. They don't believe. They don't change. But his cousin was Chizkiyahu HaMelech, and eventually became his son-in-law as well. So Hezekiah was a tzaddik. So he had tzaddik, rasha. It's completely crazy. Because one king is good, one king is bad. One king is good. And that was in Yehuda. In Israel, they're all bad. Terrible disaster. So they were taken away by the Assyrians. The first deportation of Jews. Can you imagine? Kingdom of Israel, 740 BCE. 740 BCE to 722 BCE. They keep taking away more Jews and more Jews from the Northern Kingdom. The Assyrians took them somewhere else. They're gone. The lost tribes, 740 BCE. 715 BCE, Chizkiyahu was the king. Chizkiyahu was a tzaddik. Then he had Manasseh. But eventually we have another good king, Yoshiyahu of Judah. Made major reforms. And then we have the prophecies of Yirmiyahu, 626 BCE to 587 BCE. 597 BC is really the first deportation to Babylon. Takes the smart people are taken to Babylon, all the priests and all the scribes, all the civil servants, taken to Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Babel, and eventually he comes back and destroys the Beit HaMikdash because the Jews are not easy to rule. They're not easy to rule. They keep rebelling. He didn't want to do it. He didn't start by destroying the Beit HaMikdash. He didn't. He just took away the part of the people. He didn't destroy the Beit HaMikdash. But eventually, the Yehoiachin was the last king of Judah who rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, wouldn't pay his taxes, tried to join Egypt against Babylon, and it was a disaster. And he takes him, he kills all his children, and then he blinds him. Takes him to Judah, takes him to Babylon, where eventually he has a child, Baruch Hashem, he had a child. You know the story. They put him in a pit. And his wife persuades the king of Babel's wife, Nebuchadnezzar's wife, to allow her to go and have relations with her, to have a baby. So he puts her in the pit, and Yehoiachin, she tells Yehoiachin, I just became Nida. And Yehoiachin, imagine Yehoiachin says, I can't touch you. Even though, imagine, they put him in the pit, it was like a miracle to get them to put him in the pit with her husbands, and he didn't touch her. And they pulled her out again, she went to the mikvah, she went back again, and she got pregnant. Her son was called Yeruval, Yerubabel, and he's Yerubal was Gidon, because he destroyed Baal, he destroyed the god of Baal, the statue. But Yeruzavel, they call him Yeruzavel, and he helped Ezra and Nehemiah to rebuild the second temple. So we're now in the second temple period, which we're getting close. So Zerubabel. Zerubbabel leads the Jews back to Yerushalayim. 40,000, 50,000 Jews went back with Ezra and Nehemiah. Zerubbabel, they start building the second temple. 516 BCE, second temple was consecrated. However, Ahasuerus stops the rebuilding. Even though it was consecrated, he stops the rebuilding. He was terrified of the building of the temple. He was getting reports. Why? Because there's Balagan going on. The Samaritans.
You mean Nebuchadnezzar?
Nebuchadnezzar was dead. Nebuchadnezzar dies. His son takes over, Evil Merodach. And his son takes over Belshazzar. In the middle of Belshazzar, 3 years in Belshazzar, he makes a party. He brings all the gold and silver from the temple in the middle of his party, and they see a handwriting on the wall. What was it? Four words. Mene, mene, tekel hafarset. And no one can understand what he's talking about. They say, bring Daniel. Daniel says, tonight the Babylonians, the Persians are coming to destroy you. Straight away, they heard that. Two of his guards came and they killed him. They took his body to the Persians. That was the end of Belshazzar. Very short shrift. Straight after he gets the message, they kill him. They take his body to...
Why did he get a message?
I know. He's using the temple thing. What a scare. Whoa. They're petrified. And the Persians come and destroy him. So Persian Empire.
After was Darius?
Darius. Darius the first. Darius the first employed Daniel. That was Daniel, sorry, Daniel Lyons. Then Darius the first. He was the best minister of Darius, Ariyavish, the first. He loved him. But the other people hated him. So they made a plot how to get rid of Daniel. So everyone knew Daniel prayed to God. Not only did he pray to God, he prayed to God in public. Where? In his attic. He'd open the windows and face Yerushalayim and pray. From there we learned, when you pray, you got to face Yerushalayim. We learned from him.
And they told him not to, and he still did.
They made a decree, made the king sign a decree, that only people are only allowed to pray to you. The king now is the God. People are allowed to pray for you for 30 days. Only people can pray to Dariyavish. He's the God now, 30 days. And they catch Daniel red-handed. He's praying to God. And he admitted, I'm praying to God. They take him to the Dariyavish. Dariyavish says, we've made a decree. Whoever prays to their God will be thrown into the lion's den instead of praying to me. And what can I do? My hands are tied. I love you, but that's it. You got to go into the lion's den. So they throw him into the lion's den. That night, Dariyavish cannot sleep. Think about Daniel. What happened to my Daniel? I miss my Daniel. He really liked Daniel. And then he sends a messenger. They find Daniel is still alive with a lion sitting like cats, little cats around him. And they let him out, and they throw in the guys who accused them into them. And the lions were real lions. They were not fake. They got rid of them. And they reverted to their type. Okay? So that was the story of Daniel. That's the period of the Persians. The Persians conquer Babylon. Imagine. So Babylon was the capital city, all the Jews in Babylon. All of a sudden, the capital city moves to Shushan.
Tehran.
Still going. Shushan.
It's not Tehran.
Shusha, it's called today. That's where Mordechai and Esther are buried. The graves are still there. It's in Shusha. Ask Hakakim, I'll tell you. The graves are still there in Shusha. And people still go there.
So the Shushani comes from that city?
Yeah, Shushan. City of Shushan. That's the capital city of Persia. That's where the story of Purim takes place, in the palace in Shushan. So the Jews go back to Israel. 50,000 only go back, led by Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah. They go back to Israel, rebuild. 50,000 Jews come back. I don't know how many Jews that went to Babylon. We don't have records. But there must have been about a million at least. Because we know in Egypt, we talked about yesterday, at least a million Jews in Alexandria. So it must have been approximately a million Jews in Babylon, in Persia, around that area. So the Second Temple is consecrated about 516 BCE. And Ahasuerus stops the rebuilding of the temple. Why? Because of the Balagan over there. Why is there a Balagan over there? Because the Samaritans, the people who the Assyrians replaced in Israel with the Jews they took out, they were rioting. They don't want the Jewish temple to be rebuilt. They have their own temple on Har Gerizim. Till today, their temple is on Har Gerizim. Mount Gerizim, that's where they bring the sacrificial lamb. Pesach, they have their Paschal lamb over there. They still bring offerings over there. Okay, so the temple is rebuilt, consecrated. The Jews, some Jews come back. A lot of Jews just stay in Babylon. So there's three exiles now. There's Israel, there's Babylon, and there's also Alexandria, we talked about yesterday. In 332 BCE, Alexander the Great conquers. He lands in Phoenicia, in the north. And he comes down the coast, and he conquers Egypt. He comes from here. He goes through the Gaza. He goes through the coastal. He didn't conquer Israel yet. He came through, but on his way back, he went through Israel. That's when the famous story of Shimon HaTzadik. You see Shimon HaTzadik, he gets off his horse, bows down. Shimon HaTzadik says, "This is the guy who blesses me every time I make a war." And we don't hear, he goes by, he makes his empire, and he dies. Alexander the Great, within a few years, was dead. He got to the edges of India, and he got sick, and he died. Very short shrift. But his empire was split into four parts. It was split into the Greek part was under a ruler called Philip, one of the generals. The southern kingdom was under the Ptolemies, and the northern kingdom was under the Seleucid Empire. And the right on the east, in Babylon, was a guy called Antigonus. Ishsoho, Antigonus was a Greek general, not the same guy. Okay.
This is not the regular Greece, not the.
This is the Greece which is split the Empire of Greece. Well, there's four parts of Greece: Greece under Philip, Egyptian Greece under Ptolemy, Syrian Greece under Seleucus, the Seleucid Empire, and on the east you had Antigonus, another Greek general. So four generals over this vast territory, basically more than half the world. The Greek Empire was one of the biggest empires the world ever seen, because they conquered all the way from Greece all the way to India. Massive. Bigger than the Persian Empire, because the Persians had everything except for Greece. And now there's Greece as well, so it's bigger. So it's one of the biggest empires the world has ever seen. Amazing. So Alexander, in 5 years, or whatever it was, 10 years max, conquered the world, basically. Conquered the known world. Amazing. We've never seen anything like it. The world's never seen anything like it. So anyway, so the Greeks apparently did not trouble the Jews, because we have a big gap in our history. The big gap in our history is the time of the rebuilding of the Second Temple, which we have the prophets, Ezra, Nehemiah, all these talk about. We have a gap in our history between that and the Maccabees. No one talks about it. So if no one talks about it, it's a good sign. In Jewish history, if no one talks about the years that go by, it's a very good sign. It means nothing happened of major import. Otherwise, they write it down, they talk about it, nothing happened. But we have a very big gap. And that is the period of the prophets ended. The period of the prophets lasted for 1,000 years. So we said that the Jews came out of Egypt on 2448. Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy, 2448. So 1,000 years later, the prophecy lasted for 1,000 years later. 3448. In the year 3448, approximately, last prophecy, Malachi, the last prophets. Who came after the prophets? The Anshe Knesset Hagdolah. After the prophets, Anshe Knesset Hagdolah. And who is the last of the Anshe Knesset Hagdolah? Shimon HaTzadik Mishayre Knesset HaGdolah Mishneh Perkei Avot. Shimon HaTzadik was one of the last people of the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah. Shimon HaTzadik was the high priest at the time of Alexander the Great walking into Israel. So we have a little bit of an idea what's going on. Shimon HaTzadik was the last of the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah. We don't know what happened, but apparently the Sanhedrin just took over. So you have a Sanhedrin in Israel, so you don't need an Anshe Knesset HaGdolah anymore. The Sanhedrin takes over and you start the period of what's called the Zugot, the Nasi and the Abedin. Nasi and Abedin, Nasi and Abedin. We get to Hillel and Shammai, was the last of the Nasi and Abedin. But that Hillel and Shammai were already in the period of the Romans. So that's going to, the period of the Zugot was a period from the Maccabees all the way down to the Romans. From the Maccabees down to the Romans. So in 332, Alexander the Great conquers Phoenicia, goes through Gaza, goes into Egypt, probably comes back through Israel. 200 BCE to 100 CE. At that point, the Tanakh was canonized. Somewhere around that time, we don't know exactly. Where that's what the Gemara discusses in Bav Batra. If you look at Bav Batra and Daf Yud Daled around the area, you'll see all the canonization. Who wrote which book? Who wrote this book? How was it all put together? And did they include Shir HaShirim? And that's a whole big discussion of the Shir HaShirim. It's a holy book. Should we put it in Kohelet? Is it included or included? The books of Shlomo HaMelech were very controversial, because people couldn't understand them, basically. If you understood them wrong, you got a wrong message. So it was very dangerous. He was too smart. Shlomo HaMelech was so smart. I mean, it was all parables and mishalim and mishlei and all that. So I agree. So don't take it literally. So when did Hanukkah take place? So it took place around the Greek Empire splits up into four parts straight after Alexander the Great. They were under, first of all, they were under the Egyptians for about 100 years. No problem. Ptolemy. The only thing he did, we have record of, is he translated the Torah into Greek. He got 70 rabbis, locked them up in 70 different rooms, and he got the same product, which is amazing. That's a miracle. So it's called the Septuagint, from the Greek translation translated into Latin, from Latin it translated into English, into the King James Version. And that's why there's many differences, many mistakes. And it's just four stages removed. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll continue tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.